Morning. Great day to be in the house of the Lord, everybody. Amen. Outstanding. We are not having youth worship today. We are just going to all stay in here. Hope everybody had a good, uneventful Christmas. All the wrapping paper get burned or thrown in the fireplace. And you can sense the theme from what we're doing today. It's names. Your name, my name. What God calls us, what we call each other, what the world calls us. Names are very important. Names have meaning. When you were born, I've heard stories that people didn't get their names until 5 days after they were born, or so many days, but now they won't let you leave the hospital without having a name on the birth certificate. And I think my parents picked my name, so when they yell at me, it flows really well together. You got the first name, you got Raymond. It's like, you got your attention. And Raymond Jennings. It's like, okay, I might be in a little trouble. I might have done something. Or I'm starting to do something. Raymond Jennings Virtual. Then you're going to get whipped. The worst one that you got called was you. There were seven of us in the family. And I know we drove our mom nuts. If you see her now, a lot of white hair. And she couldn't remember our names. And then she would just point at you and say, you. You pretty much stood up, took off your belt, and handed it to her and kind of bent. Or got the wooden spoon. You got the wooden spoon. Psychology Today did a study on people going deaf. And they realized that a lot of people really weren't going deaf as other people thought. Please pass me the salt. Some people are already focused into their own world of eating or whatever they're watching or whatever they're doing, so they don't hear that. But when you say their name, Ted, first thing they do is they recognize it's Ted. Ted, yes. And they focus right to you. Could you please pass me the salt? You get the salt. Could you get that? Who are you talking to? I'm focused on my own little world. But Psychology Today said that I think it was 64% of people weren't actually deaf. They just did not hear what was being said. They were focused on what they were doing. Or they were tuned out or they were daydreaming. But when you say their name, it gets their attention. Mr. Ed being in the military, they would tell the room to stand by. Then you knew you were ready to stand up at attention. Then they would call the room to attention. Commander would walk in, and you knew they'd tell you to have a seat. You'd sit down. Still somewhat at attention, your ears are perked up, and you're waiting to hear what they're supposed to say. So when we say our names, that has a meaning to us. Just like same with the picture. You get a group picture, first thing you look for is you. See if you're blinking, making a yawning face, making a bit. Oh, that's a good picture. Okay, then we could pass it out to everybody else. If my picture is good in there, I could pass it out to everybody else. I could let them see that. But names have meaning. Raymond, of course, pick mine. Wise, protection, advice, judgment, counsel. I could say that, but sometimes I don't listen to my own wise judgment and counsel. Make mistakes. Ed or Edward. English, wealth, fortune, prosper. David, beloved or uncle. Roxanne, she didn't want me to use her name in here, but I'm going to anyway. Dawn, bright, radiant. Jerry, ruler with the spear. Sophia, wise. Tina, little or little one, leader and independent. Does your name set your personality, or has your personality kind of flowed with the name? Let's go back to Raymond. There's probably a lot of people who, again, wise, protection, advice, judgment, counsel. There's probably a lot of Raymonds that have been in trouble, in jail, in prison, have made not wise choices. So it's pretty vague as far as what your name can mean. It can mean a lot of different things. In the Bible, people were given names for what they meant. So do a little Bible calisthenics today. Genesis 7, 5. And this is Abraham. And everybody knows at the very beginning. I'm sorry, 17:5. At the very beginning with Abraham. Exalted father. Abram. Then God came down and changed it. No longer you'd be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful, and I will make a nation for you, and kings will come from you. God changed his name for a purpose. Isaac, laughter. Then God said, yes, your wife Sarah will bear you a son. And you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him, an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I heard you, and I will surely bless him. And I will make him fruitful, and will greatly increase his number. Isaac was a joy. Isaac was a surprise. And he brought joy to him. Jacob, as he was born with Esau, you know what happened, that he came out clutching Esau's heel. That's what Jacob means, or deceiver. That's kind of not a name that you want, a name that you want to pass on to someone else. Like, oh, deceiver. Oh, that's great. But then he got his name changed. Genesis 32:27. Let's go a little further back here. So Jacob, let's see. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that the hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. The man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with man and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name. Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him. So not only is he now not called deceiver anymore, but God changed his name, struggles with God. And if you know the history of Israel, Israel always struggled with God. They got to see all the miracles. They got to see the mountain of God on fire. They walked through the water. They saw the 10 plagues. And still through the desert, they complained. They got fed. They complained. They didn't like the food that they ate. They got water from a rock. They complained. They kept complaining and complaining. They did not follow God, even though they saw everything. Similar to us, we have the Word of God in our hands, and we complain. We know it. This is all review. We know it. We just don't follow it. We follow our own way. We want to go our own way. So like the church is called Israel, because apparently we still struggle with God. We still struggle with His Word as far as obeying that. Now, Jacob's sons, Jacob names his sons according to what was going on in his life. Reuben, see my misery. Simeon, one who hears. Levi, attached. Dan, vindicated. Naphtali, my struggle. Gad, good fortune. Asher, happy. Issachar, reward. Zebulun, honor. Joseph, may he add. And then Genesis 35:18. And this is Rachel. As she breathed her last, for she was dying, she named her son Ben-Oni. But his father named him Benjamin. Son of my trouble. I don't know if you want that name for your kid. You understand the kid has to live with the name. But his dad changed it. You don't want that to happen to someone with the names that you're called. But Benjamin, son of my right hand, son of my strength. This is the baby. This is the now apparently the favorite. Names are powerful. Names have meaning. In the book of Hosea, or Jose, depending on how you want to pronounce it, if you remember the story of the prophet Hosea, that God told him to marry a prostitute, Gomer. He did. That's something you got to question. Are you sure? Are you sure this is the person you want me to marry? You know everything about me. You know everything about this person. Is this the person I'm supposed to marry? Yes, as an example to Israel. He obeyed. Go take yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of vile adultery in departing from the Lord. So he married Gomer, and she conceived and bore him a son. Call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu. Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. The Lord said to Hosea, call her Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer show love to the house of Israel. Bore him again, bore another child. Call him Lo-Ami, for they are not my people, and I am not your God. I'm hoping Hosea changed their names. You read the very first chapter of Hosea, and it's hurtful. It's painful. But you go to the end of the chapter, and it talks about God being faithful even when we're unfaithful. That God loves us even when we're extremely bad, even when we don't live up to our names. Like Ted was saying, and you saw the theme of all the songs that was going on, children of God. This is what we are. And we know from our children, and maybe not our children, because our children were perfect. Even our grandchildren were perfect. But other people's children that you see, and you know they're not perfect. And that's how we are with God. We're not perfect, and God forgives us. God is faithful even when we're unfaithful, because he cannot deny himself. Your name may have come from other family members, from grandparents, great-grandparents, uncles. I can trace my name pretty far back of all the people who I'm apparently named after. But the world tries to change us. The world tries to change us as far as our names. I can say Michelle, Hananiah, and Azariah. How many people would know who I'm talking about? But if I say Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you would say, I know those guys. Daniel's friends, thrown in the fiery furnace. When Babylon conquered Jerusalem in the first wave, they took the captives back Daniel and his three friends, plus a multitude of others, to train them. And what they did was, first thing they did was change their names. Daniel, God has judged. All right, God has judged. To Belshazzar, keeper of the treasures of Baal. Hananiah, Jehovah has been gracious. And they changed it to Shadrach. This means God of Marduk, or she knows. Mishael, who is like God? The Meshach. And that's a deity, Venus, shadow of a prince. And Azariah, Jehovah has helped, to Abednego, servants of Nebo, or a Babylonian god. What Nebuchadnezzar was trying to do was completely change their culture, completely change the way of thinking, and train them in education of the Babylonian Empire. He also gave them the food they were to eat, and an allowance, basically to take care of them, housing, to make them completely dependent upon him. Taking them away from their parents and changing their name, trying to erase all their heritage so they would be completely dependent upon him. And that way of thinking, they would be loyal to him. Once they broke that loyalty, you know, you start taking away their food, you take away their housing. He was so mad that he threw them into the fiery furnace. And after God rescued them, you really don't hear too much about them, except they were put in charge. Again, names are so important that when Jesus went to the tomb to call out Lazarus, it's like, pass me the salt, Ted. No, Ted. Pass me the salt. See, said Ted, and boom, directly got his attention. He said, Lazarus, got his attention. Come out. And he came out. A lot of people sit there and said, if he said, come out, all the dead within the vicinity who heard his voice would be coming out. And for you younger people, the start of the zombie apocalypse. I don't know if you want to call it that, but... we are also ambassadors of Christ. That's another name that we have. Accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. Some of the verses are up here, so you don't have to look them up. But John 18:36, Jesus said, my kingdom is not as of the world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. Our kingdom. We're sent. We do not. An ambassador to Russia is not a Russian citizen. Is it an American citizen going to a foreign country representing that government? We, as representatives sent by God into this world from God's kingdom. That's where we're at. Proverbs 13:17. A wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a trustworthy envoy brings healing. When we speak the words of God. When we're out in a world, we're speaking the words of God for healing. A wicked messenger. I talked about coming up front and having an entry song like UFC fighters or boxers come into the ring today. Not about me. It's about God and his message. Are you nervous about preaching today? Definitely. Why? This is review. You know these things. This is just a reminder. So I'm speaking to you And I don't like to be corrected. Even though I make many mistakes and I do need to be corrected, I don't like being corrected. But I need to humble myself and take any type of correction there is so I can better myself. But handling the Word of God, you want to make sure that you're handling it with reverence, properly, truthfully. That also goes to the people that we're looking for to replace David. It's a monumental task. We need to see what they believe when they handle the Word of God. We don't want them to skim over the Word of God like it is reading through the Sunday paper. How long does it take David to go through the Word? Well, year and a half for the book of Hebrews, maybe even longer. Because there's so much in there, we need to keep learning it and relearning it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible's told me so. Just in that little nursery song contains so much information. That you know that Jesus had to exist, Christmas, be born, Resurrection Sunday, die for our sins, raised on the third day. He had to exist. All the things that were said about him, it had to happen. That's why the Word of God is extremely important. 2 Corinthians 8:22. As for Titus, he is my partner and my fellow worker among you. As for our brothers, they are representatives of the church and an honor to Christ. They are ambassadors. Where do you go to church? Valley Christian. Hopefully we have a good reputation. Some people may not like us. But when you walk in the door, you're going to get the truth. You're going to get the Bible. You're not going to get, what do I think? What do our elders think? What does the pastor? This is what the Word of God says. Thus saith the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:20, 21. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors through God. We're making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Directly talks about being ambassadors. Hebrews, love this verse because we just went through it. Hebrews 13, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Ambassadors, our country is not here. You love this country? Great. We'll fight for this country? Great. But we're sent out as ambassadors. Same thing with other countries. They would say the same thing. Our country is great. Mexico, our country is great. Canada, our country is great. But the Christians there will say the same thing. I'm ambassadors for the kingdom of God to the people of earth, to my family, to my friends, to my enemies. Wave at your enemies. Wish them Merry Christmas. Probably makes them madder. An accredited diplomat sent by a country as an official representative to a foreign country. This whole planet is a foreign country to us, and our kingdom is in heaven. And we're waiting for God to return to take us with him. Hebrews 12. And again, David's studying through Hebrews, so this is pretty good. As you have forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, if you are not disciplined, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for that. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Children of God. Again, the songs that you heard today. Galatians 32:26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. 2 Corinthians 18. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And Romans. Because those who lead, who are led by the Spirit of God, are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. By him we cry, Abba, Father. The Lord's Prayer. People say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. Our Father. Jesus could have said, my Father. In the Old Testament, they would not say the word of God. They didn't even write it out. It was that sacred to them. But Jesus comes down and they say, teach us to pray like John's disciples, or like John taught his disciples to pray. And he said, our Father. Gave us that intimate one-on-one, our Father. Changed everything. God, our Father. Very intimate details, just very strong in that relationship that we are children of God. Galatians 4. And this is 4 through 6. For when the time had fully come, Jesus sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons, because your sons of God sent his spirit of his son into our hearts, and the spirit cries out, Abba, Father. John 1:12-13. Yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born, not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but of God. Beatitudes, Matthew 5:19. Blessed are the peacemakers. They'll be called the sons of God. On and on and on. You go through there and you type it up and do a search on your electronic computer, on your electronic Bible, and you say sons of God or son of God. Many, many verses come up. You look in the back under son of God, a lot of verses come up. A lot of them tie to Jesus, but a lot of them also tie to us, children of God, son of God. Be imitators of God. Ephesians 5. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. When it talks about beloved, normally you find those verses in King James. And you'll find it under where it says, my friends, my dear friends, my co-workers, or my fellow workers. But agape is the Greek for that sacrificial love. And this is a part of it, that beloved. So when you go to a wedding, dearly beloved, we gather here today. That is a Christian event. Pagan rituals will not have that. You go back and you go back and you go back. They want to have dearly beloved. dearly beloved, is the sacrificial word. God loves us. That sacrifice for us. There's a preacher that David loves listening to, and I like listening to as well. That's what he calls his congregation. Beloved. Beloved. He'll say that almost every other sentence, at least starting every paragraph, every thought with beloved. Ted passed me the salt. Getting your attention. Beloved. Dearly beloved, we're gathered here today to join this man and this woman in holy, holy matrimony. It's coming from God. This is what we're called. My friend, yeah, so you'll find them all through the Old Testament. And there are 46 alone where it talks about beloved. On and on and on. That's our names. Who is our beloved brother? Who is our, you know, dearly beloved, beloved woman, beloved servant? Many different names you're called. And again, this is all review. You know this. You were called this. God sacrificed his son for you, beloved. For God so loved the world that we accepted it. And now we are part of the beloved. Romans 12:19. Do not take revenge, my friends, beloved, but leave room for God's wrath. Therefore, my dear friends, beloved, flee idolatry. Therefore, my dear brothers, beloved, stand firm. Let nothing move you. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Since we have these promises, dear friends, beloved, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Listen, my dear brothers. This is James 2:5. Beloved, has not God chosen you who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those he loved? On and on and on. Children of God, sons and daughters of God, beloved. That's really just a few of the names that we have. But then we get a new name. A new name is coming. Revelations 2:17. And this is God talking to the churches. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it. In ancient Roman times, they had games that they played, athletic games. And the stone was your pass as an athlete who won into the banquet. They would put the winner's name on a stone, and as they came to the banquet, they would hand the stone to the keeper of the door and were able to enter in. And it was only for the winners, the athletes. And Paul talks about, uses that metaphor, as well as you're training yourself, as you're beating and buffeting your body, training yourself in righteousness with God's word. It's the same thing. We're training ourselves. We are athletes. We're striving to the end. We are struggling, not with God as Israel, but we're struggling with the world as ambassadors. We are being beaten down, pressed down, pushed on, kicked around. In Antioch is where Christians first got the name Christian. follower of Christ. That's who we are. Kind of take that as a nice little badge of honor. But now, with things going on in this country, and even in the world, as Christians are being persecuted, even prosecuted, but in this world, you'll get called, doesn't matter what color you are, nationality you are, you Christians. You Christians. You Christians are disrupting everything. You Christians think that yours is the only way. You Christians are bigoted. You Christians are racist. You Christians are narrow-minded. So now, not before it was a badge of honor, now they're sitting there trying to take that honor away by saying, you Christians. Are there some Christians out there who do bad? Yes. We all make mistakes. But they're trying to lump you all together and say, it's all you. You Christians. And using it as a byword. God loves us so much, and that's the struggle that we face. As we are standing for Him for right, people don't think there is a right anymore. As we're standing for Him in doing what is right, and if you haven't heard it yet, you Christians, even from some of your fellow Christians. I was called a black and white fundamentalist by a Catholic bishop. And I asked him, naive, I wasn't naive about it, but I just wanted to see exactly what he meant by that. What do you mean? You only believe it if it's in black and white. Yes, it's in the Bible. I only believe it if it's black and white. I met him again, and I reminded him of what he called me. And he told me, I can't believe I said that. I said, well, yeah. I said, I kind of took that as a little bit of badge of honor. I appreciate that. But yeah, black and white. If it's only right here, then it's right there. Revelation 19:12. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. Grandfathers, parents, they may have that special nickname for you that only they call you. That only they're the only ones allowed to call you that. My nickname was That's All. When we were younger and we're trying to learn your name, older brother, Robert Stephen Birchall Jr., they got me there, and they said his name several times, and they got me there, and they said, what's your name? And I said, Raymond Jennings Birchall Jr. They go, no, you're not a junior. You can only be junior if you're named after your dad. Oh, what's your name again? Raymond Jennings Birchall Jr. I want an extra name at the end of mine. Of course, you know what comes next, being smart aleck. No, Raymond Jennings Birchall, that's all. What's your name? Raymond Jennings Birchall, that's all. So that was the nickname. It kind of stuck for a little bit, but I think they got rid of that after a while, but they thought it was always cute. But that's all. Let's go right back to the Old Testament and into Judges. Jump around here just a little bit more. Right before Samuel and Ruth. Judges 13:18. And this is the birth of Samson. An angel appears and tells Manoah. Then Manoah inquired of the Lord, what is your... let's go back. The angel replied, angel of the Lord replied, even though you detain me, I will not eat your food, but if you prepare a burnt offering and offer it to the Lord. Manoah did not realize that it was the angel of the Lord. Then Manoah inquired of the angel of the Lord, "What is your name? So that we may honor you when your word comes true." He replied, "Why do you ask my name? It is beyond understanding." That might be the new name that we get. Beyond understanding. We don't know it. But it's going to be what God calls us, and it's going to be something, I believe, very intimate. As a father to a son or a daughter. Something that will make your heart light up. Even though you're in the presence of God, it's a joy. Because I'm sure there's going to be, hopefully, millions of Raymonds. Millions of Steves. But when he calls your name, you know he's going to call your name. And he's going to be very specific. You're going to be known by God. You are known by God. But you're going to feel that. And it's going to just be that inexpressible, heart-exploding joy. The last place for your name is scary. Very scary. But not for us. Because our names are there in the book of life. Let's go right back to Daniel here. Love Daniel. I always tell people, if you want to read the Old Testament, read Daniel, then read the book of Revelation. Then go back and go through all the book, the New Testament again, and you'll see everything just unfolding. Then go back after you read the New Testament and read the Old Testament. Even the book of Numbers or Leviticus. This is Daniel 7, 9 through 10. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow, and his hair on his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and books were open. Then we go, let's go back one if we could. Philippians. The rest of my fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life. And actually, I'm going to need to go to Revelations because I am going to be there for the last portion of this. Revelations 3:5. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. People are going to stand before the white, before the judgment throne of God, and they're going to hear people defying God now, kind of behind his back. Every time an angel of the Lord appeared to someone on earth, the first thing he said was, "Don't be afraid." Or they fell down as dead men. But he always said, "Don't be afraid." This is an angel of the Lord. This is not God. An angel of the Lord, and they fall down like dead men. How much more is it going to be when people are standing before God and they think they're going to be defiant? Well, I'm going to wag my finger in his face and tell him that he didn't give us enough information that we can make a proper decision. There wasn't enough proof that he existed. They're going to, and I hear it. You read books, you read commentaries, you read about other people, you read about scientists, and they will say these things. I don't think they're going to say those things. They're going to stand there and they're going to stammer before God. And they're going to try to, they may try to justify themselves. They'll bring up so much strength to try to justify themselves. And if you read Revelations 20:11. In the book of Daniel, he said, and books were opened. Plural. You read the other verses, it says, and the book of life, one. 2011. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were open. Another book, singular, was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books, plural. Books signify something as permanent, permanently written down. Everything that we have done has been written down. Every thought being taken captive, written down. The book of Acts is the Acts of the church. The church is still here. The book of Acts is not closed. We're still writing it on what we do and how we act, how we conduct ourselves with the outside world. It is still being written down. How big is our chapter of what we have done? And they look at that and go, right here, cross-reference it with the book of life. They go, oh, and it's all scratched out. It's all covered with the blood of Jesus. And if your name is not in the book of life, you'll be judged according to what is written in the books. And the judgment will be fair. There will be nobody wagging their fingers in God's face. It will be fair. They will understand. People will understand that it is fair. The other question I get is, what about the people who have never heard of God? Since the beginning of creation, the evidence of God is out there, so that no one was without excuse. No one. It's in God's word. Nobody is going to sit there and wag their fingers in front of God. They're going to try to justify themselves, but I don't think they'll be able to speak. His presence would be so glorious. Again, even at the angels, they fell down as dead men. This is the people who even John, who was even with God, or with Jesus, saw the transfiguration. And when the angel appeared, he fell down in front of the angel. And the angel said, don't do that. Don't worship. Don't worship me. It's God. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. Each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is a second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. That's the scary thing. Let's say even for us, even though our names are written in the book of life, we have friends and family who names aren't there. Sent a Bible to my dad. Talked about the gospel with my dad. And my dad said, you don't know the stuff that I've done. God can never forgive me. And I said, then he couldn't be God. If God could not forgive you, he could not be God. If your heart is right, you're turning to God. He can forgive you. And I'll let God judge that. I can't tell if my dad's going to heaven or to hell. I just can be an ambassador for Christ. Be one of the sons and daughters of God. Am I going to make mistakes? You bet. Am I going to error. Sure. But God is not judging me according to my bad day, my bad moment. My name is in the book of life because I take God at his word. He said it. I believe it. Even when the world tells me not to believe, when they try to distract me, pagan Christmas, with all the hoopla about Christmas. Same thing with Resurrection Sunday or Easter. They try to distract you from what the true purpose of these celebrations are about. It's about God. It's about Christ. So the name by which you are called, Steve, David, Edmund, Tina, Yvonne, Dolores, anybody. That's your earthly name. What does God call you? And this is all review. You know this. If you've been in church long enough, you know this. Children of God. Sons and daughters of God. Ambassadors of Christ. This is who we are. And again, this is all review. You know this already. This isn't to build you up because you already know that God loves you. How much more than that? How much more can I cheer you on saying, you can do it? I know you can. This isn't the New Year's sermon of new year, new you. I like the old you. I like your scars, the ones you can't even see sometimes. The trauma that you were put through. Somebody says, why does God allow this? I don't know. But God allows things in my life, again, even the scars you cannot see, to reach the people that are lost as an ambassador. I don't know exactly how they feel because they lost a parent or lost a child. But I can sympathize and empathize with them and be there for them, even just being there quietly. That's the ambassador. That's what we're doing here. When we're here, this is worship. When we go out there, we're ambassadors. Let's pray. Father, thank you for reminding us of where we're going and what our jobs are as ambassadors of Christ, ambassadors in this foreign world, in this foreign country, set out to rescue. Actually, you do the rescuing. We just point to you. You send the Holy Spirit into the heart and tug on them and pull them to you. And we are blessed enough to help out. Save our friends, our family, enemies, neighbors, the people around us. Forgive us where we fall short. Thank you for the love that you have for each and every one of us. Thank you for the magnitude of your glory. And let us go out in a direction that you've guided us. In Jesus' name I pray. And the church said, oh yeah.